Roman Anthony with an absolute jack for the first time at Fenway Park last night in the fifth, and the Red Sox win one that they are supposed to win. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Coming up, they said it in about 20 minutes, and then the news with Courtney at 7:45. And unfortunately, Shime, an incident of Pokemon collector line-cutting rage that led to violence. Pure violence in the news when we get to that later on.
I get it.
With Courtney. I'm sure you do. But we have a couple leads left this morning. Hello, Wiggy.
All right, good morning. So I'm going to say this. After seeing that picture yesterday of Drake May and all those guys out there, I'm excited about what Drake May is doing.
But Mitch can throw that back up on the Twitch feed and the YouTube feed so you can see it again. The guys are, I think Mike Vrabel had said to the fellas that the most important work for this upcoming season was done in the 5 weeks leading up to training camp.
Yes.
So you see this; these guys are working out together, and doesn't matter what the temperature is, they're working on it.
And it's not so much the on-field work that they're getting, which is obviously going to make them better, but it's the fact that like Drake May is basically taking the bulls by the horn, and it's like, this is my team, right? I am the guy. We're going to meet. We're going to do things. Here's where we're going to meet. We're going to go out there. We're going to run routes. We're going to do all these other things. The Patriots have basically have said to us that this is Drake May's team. I think they did that when they kind of moved on from Joe Milton just because they didn't want no noise. Like, we don't even think about the backup quarterback now. And so when you look at the Patriots and you look at what Drake May's doing this offseason about basically saying, I'm the guy, all these guys around me know I'm the leader, I'm the driver of this bus here. I really like the fact that he's doing that because you're right, the chemistry is made now. And I think when you start to look at it, Drake May has put himself in a position of in his second year of basically saying, this is my team and I'm going to elevate to being that guy. And hopefully he can go out there and do it on the field, but he has no reason to not be able to be successful, especially in the role that he's in right now, where he doesn't have to look over his shoulder, doesn't have to worry about anything else.
So when you consider that this is his sophomore season uh-huh. in the NFL, you upgraded at head coach.
Yep.
By a large margin,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yep.
You upgraded at offensive coordinator.
Yep.
By a large margin.
I'd agree with that.
And you consider ease of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Is the expectation that this must be a playoff team or you're going to be disappointed?
I don't know.
I think it is.
You think it is?
I mean, Jones and Keefe were talking about it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
From an analytics point of view, they you throw everything into the algorithm,
mm-hmm.
and they have, they should be a playoff team. They have the 12th best, whatever they were talking about yesterday, 12th best chance of being a playoff
right.
team in the NFL. When you put schedule and everything else in there.
But
the Patriots should not be guaranteed a playoff spot by any means. Like, they shouldn't. They're probably not a playoff team. I don't understand. Just because of strength of schedule doesn't matter. Like, it cool. Strength of schedule is great.
The easiest schedule in the league.
That's great. Right now it is. Preseason it is. Mm-hmm. But once you get season, this Raiders team you see week one is going to be very, very different than the Raiders team you saw last season. And strength of schedule goes based on your record from last year. So, like, you also have to take into consideration the rosters of this team. Like, the roster of this team is just flat out not that great. Like, the defense is good and should be good. And then this offense is, I mean, overall, the roster is not that great. Like, this should be a 7-8 win team. Anything more than that, you should be pumped. Anything less than that, you should be kind of upset.
Wiggy had them at 10 last week.
Yeah, I feel like they're 9-10 wins. But if they go 9-8 and they don't make the playoffs, like, I'm not disappointed because I still feel like they need that number one legit number one offensive playmaker. I don't know what Steph Diggs is going to be this year, but I still feel like that's the one piece that they're missing. Did they upgrade the position? They did. So if they go 8-9 and don't make the playoffs, I think people are probably happy about that.
Yeah, we did it on Thursday's show, though, from the dive.
Yeah.
And you had them 9-10 wins.
Yeah, I do.
When you went game to game on that schedule.
Yeah, I do. Like, but Shime has them, I think, losing to the Raiders, and he has them losing to Atlanta. I have them beating the Raiders and beating Atlanta. So it's just going to be like games that you expect them to win. Can they win those games?
Yeah. You know? All right. Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
So I mentioned this earlier, but I do like to keep the olds that listen to this show like me up to date with what is going on with the youngs. And there is apparently a new trend in the workplace for Gen Z, which is called bathroom camping.
Oh.
We have a couple Gen Zers here. Well, Courtney, you're a millennial.
So is Shime.
Okay. Have you heard of bathroom camping?
I have not.
If I can take a guess what it is, our generation would call it PTP, paid to poop.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, except you're not doing that. You're essentially Gen Z is putting the rest in restroom.
Mm.
And the bathroom apparently is considered to be a safe place.
All right.
At work.
Yeah.
And so beleaguered Gen Zers are sequestering themselves inside the bathroom so that they can scroll social media, listen to music, and otherwise shut out the pressures of the outside world, sometimes for as long as hours on end.
That's crazy. Wiggy.
That's excessive.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can get like hemorrhoids from sitting that long.
Well, I mean, I don't think you need to be pushing the entire time, Shime, but I think that...
Okay, you could get like sores on the bottom of your legs.
When I was working in a more corporate setting, like at 10 minutes in the bathroom to scroll was a delight. You know, going in there. That's been going on forever. I'm sure. Well, I don't know about when you were younger because you didn't have a phone to scroll on. No, you brought in a newspaper.
I think my generation was generally when at work was doing work, I think, was generally what was going on. They weren't hiding out in the bathroom for hours on end.
And remember, women can take advantage of this either way because they sit both times. Where a guy, we only sit one of the times.
Correct, right. So if you're in there for 3 hours... Yeah. Two or three times a day, somebody's going to think you have an issue with your
tummy. They're going to be like, you might want to get your bowels checked out.
One TikTok user, Hendo, says, every time something gets overstimulating in my life, let me go to the bathroom and refresh a little.
Wait, hold on. That's been happening since the dawn of time.
Right.
I know fathers of little children who do the exact same thing at home.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I escape? Where's the only quiet place in the house? The bathroom.
Oh, especially for the man. Like it is. That's where your throne
exactly.
is. That's,
or if you need a good cry, the bathroom.
No.
Like, this isn't new. That's phone is the only new part.
No.
Okay. Doing it for 2 hours is not right.
Like
a quick 10-minute refresh? Well, that's totally fine.
But these people are doing it for hours on air.
Yeah, that seems excessive.
The reporting is.
That is bad.
Yeah.
Go for at least if it's going to be an hour, like go for a little walk. Mm.
That's why everybody needs a good George Costanza to tell you where the best bathrooms are.
Oh.
Correct.
Yeah. We have Jackson.
Yeah. Good obscure reference.
Because, you know, the thing about it is, like, I don't want to spend time in the bathroom if the bathroom is disgusting.
Yeah. Right.
I want the stalls, another great episode from Seinfeld, to go all the way down to the floors. I like some of those high-end restaurant bathrooms where the actual commode area is like your own little room, but you don't find many of those. I don't want my feet to be out knowing that somebody's going to sit next to me. I don't want none of that.
Here's an 80 text from Connecticut. That's at least where that area code is, that says currently on the toilet at work, not going to the bathroom. So obviously somebody listening to the show. I'm all for it if you're spending hours listening to the show on the Odyssey app.
Of course. Thank you.
I'm all for it. Or streaming us at WEEI.com or listening on the radio. We have multiple radio stations all over New England where you can hear this radio show in the morning.
Do men have the issue, and my friends and I talk about this all the time, and this could just be like a very localized me issue, but if you're in a stall and you feel like you've been taking too long and you see other feet under there, then you're going to wait for them to use the restroom and wash their hands and leave before you exit.
Want them to know you were in there?
Or like you don't want them to...
I thought you didn't go number two at the office.
I don't.
You have a problem
with
that.
Yes, no, I'm saying like even if I was in there scrolling...
What do you do if you're at work and you have to go number two? You hold it?
Panic mode.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you don't want people to know that you do that like every human being.
No, I know. I can't. My brain would go nuts. Like I'd be in there and I'd be like, everybody knows that I'm in here. And
what about
a
single shot at work?
Single. What does that mean?
That means like there's a stall around the corner that's just one.
One bathroom, just yourself.
Just yourself.
Yeah, we have one of those in here.
Yeah,
so there's one here?
Yeah, you go down the hallway to the right. There's men and women, single shot.
Because then I'd be in there and I'd be like, is somebody waiting outside?
And then they're going to know that you were in there.
Yeah, I just, for me.
Exchange pleasantries.
Well, that's why I don't eat in the morning before coming to work.
Mm-hmm. But nobody waits outside.
God, you poor thing. That's creating so much anxiety.
I don't drink coffee anymore before work.
Because of that.
Coffee is the devil.
Yeah. Are you not like regular?
You got gut issues. That's why you have gut health issues.
Yeah, probably.
But no one's going to wait outside because they'll just go to the regular. No, because there's another bathroom here.
But I'm saying like even if I'm in a public bathroom when I was working, again, corporate world, in a public bathroom tinkling.
Yeah.
And maybe I stayed another extra 2 minutes to scroll. Mm-hmm. Then they know that I've been in there for a long time. And I don't want like.
You don't want them thinking that it was more than
a
tinkle.
I think in the
workplace.
The
anxiety is insane.
She doesn't want. The people at work knowing that she does number twos.
Bingo.
But I'm saying I'm not
There's
even.
There's probably a lot of women who are like
I'm not
that.
Even going number two. It's just like I've
you
spent
don't want
two.
Them thinking that you did, though.
Yeah.
I get what you're
and
saying.
I don't want
but
it.
We know that you do. Like, everybody listening right now knows that you do.
I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like that.
There's a book that's called Everybody Poops.
I know.
Right, but I get what you're saying. You don't want to be
And I don't
in
want
there.
To talk to somebody in the bathroom. I don't know. So I just wait for it. And then if somebody else comes in, now it's like 10 minutes I'm sitting in there.
I had a teammate that couldn't use go number two unless the stall door was open. And
really?
There are guys.
Open?
Yeah, they were open. Like,
well, you know, Spaz used to take all of his clothes off.
I take my shirt
off. You do?
Like another great Seinfeld episode. Because I like the shirt
Spaz
off.
Spaz would take every article of clothing
Go that far.
Before pooping.
What?
No, I ain't
when I'm at home sometimes.
In the bathroom
yeah,
at work. Huh? When you're at home sometimes you do. Why?
Yeah, it's a comfort level. Yeah.
And then especially because I'm like, I might as well just hop right in the shower.
I
like to be clean.
If I was in college, like this is how crazy I am. When I was in college, I had a boyfriend in college. If I was spending the night at his dorm, I would be like, oh, I need to shower. And I would go into the bathroom, turn on all the faucets.
Got you.
Women do that. Yeah. I understand that.
Get you a squatty potty. That helps with your gut health. But there are some people, I get what you're saying. Like some people talk to you. Hey, how's your day going? You're like, you know, listen here, buddy. I'm trying to just literally like there are some guys that have no, they could just be over there, you know, firing off fireworks and just, hey, how's your day going?
I can go anywhere, anytime.
No, going anywhere, anytime is fine. But there are people that will talk
to you
while they're going. But
our bathrooms here are so small. Like there's only a few stalls. And I don't, do you guys have urinals? And
yep.
The fact that you guys all can like see each other's wee-wees.
You can't. There's only one urinal.
Oh.
Yeah,
but if somebody
multiple.
Walks in and they see it, like your they're boss could see your panoose, like that to me is so inappropriate.
you don't want.
Like the whole bathroom
Have
thing
you ever
at work
used a
is
urinal?
So.
Like
no,
a boss?
I'm a woman. I've never used a urinal.
Right, that's my point. Your boss can't see your junk unless he's leaning over looking at it.
It's so weird that that's your anxiety.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for you.
You know, back in the days of the Romans, they used to have communal baths, so it's just there were no stalls. It was just everybody just going at once.
So you're worried about somebody coming in, recognizing your shoes, perhaps, and then hey, Courtney.
No.
Great show today.
Because I'm also, if I hear somebody else doing that in a stall next to me, I'm like, I'm clutching my pearls. I'm like, in the workplace? Do you have no decency?
But when a call, sometimes you can't hold on.
No,
where's the weirdest place you've had to go, Wiggy?
I never like no place weird. I have bowel control, so there are times when I get that, you know, contraction feeling, but I can always make it to a bathroom.
Oh, big breakfast this morning, Courtney?
Oh, my God.
That's what you're worried about. I completely
I get what you're saying.
Everything about it. I just, I don't like bathrooms.
Okay. I get the boyfriend thing. I get it.
Well, oh, yeah.
Bathroom camping. It's a new trend that is going on.
I'm about to go camping after the during the break.
You're going to camp during the break? All right, we'll make it a long one. Here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England.
I got to drop off some logs.
Oh, God. The Sox take the first against the Rockies 9-3 in the final. Roman Anthony had his first Fenway Park homer, while Richard Fitz went 5 2/3, giving up 2 runs on 5 hits while striking out 6. That score brought to you by Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. The Sox have another with the Rockies at Fenway tonight, 7:10 first pitch, with Brian Baio getting the start. Will Fleming and Brooksy on the call right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Join Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show.
All right, Chime.
Disgusting.
Grow up.
Courtney's like, you ever see the movie White Chicks, the Marlon Wayans character, when he ran into the bathroom?
All right, stop.
Over to the NBA. The Clippers, Jazz, and Heat agreed to a trade yesterday that sends Norman Powell to Miami, John Collins to the Lakers, and Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, in a 2027 Clippers second rounder pick to the Utah Jazz.
Wow, Kevin Love's still playing. Jesus.
Wild.
Oh, that is wild.
That is so wild.
We've talked about it a bit this morning, but Drake May and the Pats aren't waiting for training camp to build some chemistry. May, Josh Dobbs, Ramondre Stevenson, Stephon Diggs, Kendrick Bourne, Kyle Williams, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, and Hunter Henry all got together to work yesterday. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see the photo there.
I love it.
And Subaru Summer is finally here. Buckle up for an unforgettable summer in a brand new 2025 Subaru Crosstrek. Buy with 2.9% financing for up to 48 months or lease for just $285 per month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. They said it. Coming up next.
Matt Cameron, the drummer in that band, Pearl Jam, retiring after 30 years. Which is pretty amazing. I think Pearl Jam will continue on, I would assume. And they were, was that last summer that they were at Fenway? I think it was.
Yeah.
And they were as good as they always were. So
did Ken go to that?
I went to that with Wick.
Oh, you went with? Oh, yes.
Because Wick is friends with those guys. So not a lot of great concerts at Fenway this summer. At least what I like.
What is going on with that?
I want to go see Lumineers, maybe, just because I want to go to a Fenway show. But other than that.
Breezy, 25th.
Yeah, pass. Hard pass.
Yeah, well, that's not your shtick.
You're right.
I mean, I wouldn't go see the Lumineers. Isn't that what you want for your teeth? Oh, don't you want to get Lumineers?
Courtney does want Lumineers for her teeth. You're right.
Don't you want to go see
good
Dr. Wu?
Yeah, that was good.
Breezy will be there.
We are going to get to the news coming up at 7:45, and that includes an incident of Pokemon collector line-cutting rage, which led to violence. But right now, this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They...
Don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They said it is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and Ketch's Law is honoring those who built this city. So if you know of somebody who, whether they drive or they construct or they care for others, and you think they should be honored, nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. The nurses, the iron workers, the drivers, the excavator operators, whoever they are, they deserve to be honored. And also, speaking of catches, if you're somebody like me, I like doing business with those who care about the community where they do business. And I heard from Sean Flaherty, our guy over there yesterday, and he wanted to make a donation to LB's family, to Annie and the Wilster, and we got a fundraiser going on for those two, and I just want to thank Sean and everybody at Ketch's for what they do for the community. All right, Where do you want to start this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Patrick Mahomes. He joined Kay Adams on her Up and Adams program. She asked him about the compliments that Tom Brady has been sending Patrick Mahomes his way this offseason, and Patrick Mahomes actually filled us in on a bit of the relationship between himself and Tom Brady. Here was Patrick Mahomes.
I think that's always in the back of your mind, even from the beginning of my career. But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time, a day and a day, just continuing to do that. And that's something that I've been conscious of knowing that how blessed I am to be in Kansas City, have all these great players around me. And having Tom, a guy like that, say that, I mean, it just motivates me even more. And I've actually talked to Tom a good amount this offseason, and it's cool that he wants to give me advice. You know, he doesn't have to be like that. He's such a good dude, and I have so much respect for him, and I'll take any advice he gives me.
What does he say to you? What's the best advice?
I gotta keep the secrets, you know. But he always talks about being yourself. He thinks that, which I truly believe too, is that guys can spot when you're not authentic and you're not putting in the work. And that's something that he did every single day. That's why guys respected him so much. And that's all I'm going to do for the rest of my career. And I feel like I've done so far is I'm always myself. No matter if you like me or if you don't like me, you know that I'm giving everything I can to win the football games.
All right.
Okay, pretty good guy to get advice from.
Yeah, think? All right. If he gets the advice, maybe he kind of goes the mode of like, all right, maybe I can do what Brady did and play into my 40s, you know? I mean, Mahomes is, what, 27 or 28? So, I mean, he can still easily, you know, if his mindset is I want to play, you know, let's call it 40.
Barring injury and stuff, how long do you think he plays? Another 10 years?
Well, 10 years. If he's 27, 37, so maybe another 13 years if he wants.
Is he only 27 right now?
He's been in the league for 9 years.
How old is he, 28?
This is his ninth season, so I would 29. Guess.
29,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 29, he played for another 10 years, you know, 11 years, so he played a 40. Think about it. That's a long time if he's been in the league 9 years. That puts him at that, you know, 19-year career. And, you know, statistically, the way they're throwing the ball now, I mean, he could break a ton of records.
Okay, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's stay in football, but let's head to the college football ranks. As Mike Lombardi filled us in on a new plan down at UNC, Greg, they were done with turf.
Oh.
Mike Lombardi and Bill Belichick decided to bring back grass.
Okay.
Here was Mike Lombardi explaining that decision.
One of the first things when we got to North Carolina, we were over in the blue zone. Bill and I, we were in one of those suites over there as we were getting ready to have the press conference. And we both looked out on the field and said, we're in North Carolina, right? He said, yeah. Well, why do we have turf? It makes no sense. Like, we have really nice weather. We can grow really good grass. Like, why don't we have grass? Because grass is what players want to play on. And it's hard to recruit to artificial turf. I mean, it's difficult to go out there every single day on your knees and do all those things. So, you know, the idea happened because we looked out there and it made no logical sense. So turf is going to be in Carolina for as long as we're going to be here. Now, the only thing we really don't have, we wanted hedges because we want to bring the stadium back to when it first started.
Mm. All right, I like the grass.
And it's better for the knees, right? Isn't it safer for a lot of players to play on?
Yeah, I think a lot of players like it better. And then
grass is so much talking better. About it from a recruitment perspective, as if, I mean...
Yeah, the less injury risk.
Yeah, players think about that.
Okay, but it's at the bottom of the list, you know, NIL money and what you're getting paid is at the top of the list.
Yeah,
but if you're deciding between UNC and, I don't know, Clemson, and they're offering you the exact same amount of money,
right.
And you're like, well, UNC plays on grass, Clemson plays on turf, it's like, okay, let's just go play at UNC.
Right.
That might be a factor for somebody.
Yeah, that would be a huge factor. I mean, you know, you want it now because he even talked about practice fields and, you know, making sure. I think BC has a nice outdoor practice field that's on grass. So you want to be able to take it. Georgia, they play on grass. So I think a lot of college football teams have grass fields.
Did you see that tackle who got $5.1 million? I think it was Texas Tech.
Yeah.
$5.1
million. Mm-hmm.
An offensive tackle?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I guess he's supposed to be legit.
$5.1 million.
Yeah.
At Texas Tech.
Yeah, I bet it's like a 2-year or a 3-year deal. So, you know, it's a few million, you know, what's that, you know, a million or so every year, which is really great money.
What's crazy to me is UNC, the checkbook is just being pulled out left and right since Bill gets there. Like, to think that's why a lot of teams don't want to do the grass, because the upkeep with grass is so expensive.
Right. Yeah, no, yeah. Bill's just redoing everything.
It's insane.
He wants. Or do you think he made the decision, or do you think it was Jordan who made the decision?
No,
I'm sure it was him.
By the way. A very unfortunate incident of vandalism occurred over the 4th of July weekend on Nantucket. If you're watching on Twitch, there's a sign at the gazebo that says you must be 25 years or older to get in, because they have this policy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, the sign was changed over the weekend to read, must be older than Jordan Hudson to enter. That's not nice.
That is not nice.
Somebody's
throwing shots.
That is. Imagine if she were walking by the gazebo downtown Nantucket and saw that, the poor thing.
Did Linda do that?
It probably was one of Linda's friends. She probably doesn't do it herself. But
so
that's unfortunate.
That's just a fake. I mean, obviously, I know that's a fake sign, but they don't
No, that's really what they did. Like they,
and then a bouncer took it down.
Yeah,
it
says, and then
no, but do they normally have a sign up?
Yes, they don't. They want to avoid problems, so they normally say you have to be 25 or older.
25, or that's why I was getting at. Wow, 25 or older, huh?
All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's head over to baseball. Alex Cora spoke before the game yesterday, gave us an update on Alex Bregman's return. Here was Alex Cora.
Realistically, sooner rather than later. How soon, we don't know yet, but he's hitting outside right now. He feels great. You know, if it's up to him, it was yesterday, but obviously it's not up to him. We'll make a decision as a group and go from there.
All right.
Won't see him till after the All-Star game.
No, I think you will. I mean, maybe you'll see him before.
You could see him in that Tampa Bay series.
He also said that Yoshida will make his season debut tomorrow night. So, I mean, I hate to be that person. If Curtis were here, he'd be all over me. But you're getting guys back who you have not had access to because of injuries.
Right.
You're putting it together when it comes to hitting the baseball. Mm-hmm. I mean,
But, like, who are you sitting for Yoshida?
Aren't you just DHing him, and then you're probably going...
But that means Roman Anthony's not playing, or one of your outfielders aren't playing, and all three of your outfielders right now, or three or four of your outfielders are hitting the ball really well.
That's
like
why
Roman Anthony's raking. Sedan Rafael has a home run in three straight. Willier's been great since returning from his injury.
But that's why I think Jaron Duran is most likely gone.
Right.
Especially if the value, if they're talking about what the value is.
Does that mean he gets traded today?
No. I mean,
before the trade deadline. And then maybe, like you said,
and they're just going to shuffle playing time until then?
Yeah, I think if it's like Yoshida, if he comes back, I bet it's based on, you know, the analytics of, okay, is there a righty on the mound or a lefty?
Yeah, because then you still have to incorporate Ref Snyder for when it's lefties, because he's been dominating left-handers.
Right.
Will Fleming was on this station yesterday afternoon. Oh, you have that?
Yep, that was the next cut.
Oh, okay. Because he's talking about how they're definitely going to spend money.
Oh, I have a different cut.
Okay.
But
Let's hear what you have.
Will Fleming, as you pointed out, was on with WEEI Afternoons yesterday and talked about why the Red Sox had to move on from Rafael Devers. Here was Will Fleming.
Think about the courage, the chutzpah that it took for Craig Breslow to do what he did, right? I mean, that is a full-on balls-on-the-table move.
Yep.
To trade that guy, it is, I mean, and he knew this. In the moment, you're putting your job on the line 100%. When you take it to ownership, you say, this is what I believe. This guy does not subscribe to the vision of this team. And what's crazy is, you know, we were in San Francisco right after that trade happened. And everyone out there, of course, because they've been dying to get big hitters and they think he's going to win them divisions and hit a bunch. He's going to hit home runs. Of course he is. They don't yet know what is going to happen with the player. I was there the second day. Will Clark was there to work on ground balls with him at first base, and Rafi didn't show up. So that's the person that these guys have been dealing with. They had to move on.
That's what I think. When I think Craig Breslow, I think balls on the table.
I think chutzpah.
I mean, to be fair, like, he's made a bunch of moves this year, and the majority of them seem to be working out. Like Garrett Crochet, awesome acquisition, and you extended him. Bringing in Carlos Narvaez, great ad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just it just seems like every move he makes, Aroldis Chapman is the leading AL receiver in votes. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, I think end of the season, if Devers, if things like that continue with Rafael Devers, mm-hmm. where he goes out there and he's not willing to play first base or he's not willing to do what you want to do, then, yeah, it is a success, that trade.
Yeah.
I think that they look at it and they already say, this is a success for us because based on what we want, culture, vibe, chemistry, whatever it is.
We don't want to be paying a dude $30 million who isn't on board
right.
with what we're trying to do.
Bingo.
And we're willing to cut the arm off and see if the patient survives or whatever.
Well, no, we can cut the arm on, and guess what? We can reattach it because we have all this money that we saved from keeping Devers. Now they could just figure out, all right, where do we allocate this money? Now the key is just they got to allocate it.
Who honestly, who ghosts Will Clark? Like, he's there to right. work with you, and yeah. you blow him off?
Yeah, if that's like, true, that's wild.
And you're just starting a new job.
Well, we know that he ghosts Big Poppy, so.
He'll ghost anybody.
He really, I mean, you're trying to make, aren't you supposed to make a great first impression
yeah.
if you're Rafael Devers or anybody else?
And then when you're getting these, you know, text messages or WhatsApp messages from legends, you would think you might want to pick up the phone a little bit.
All right, that is They Said It.
That is They Said It, Greg.
Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, Courtney, and the news next.
Freedom Fire Barbecue in Norton isn't opening on time because of sabotage. The owner...
That's the worst sabotage.
Yes, yeah. And I want to get to the bottom of it.
Uh-huh.
The owner, Mike Conroy, and his wife, they've gained popularity as a mobile caterer. Mm-hmm. And so local spot Hillside Johnny's decided to have them use their kitchen when they weren't open. So they
okay.
got to do kind of a pop-up restaurant barbecue for all of their fans.
Okay.
They had an opening set... The night before, in the middle of the night, someone made sure they couldn't do what they needed to do the next morning.
Mm.
What did they end up doing?
Well, I'm going to get to Conroy
okay.
on BZ, but okay. they also stole the security camera in the process.
Oh, really?
Here's owner Mike Conroy.
You can actually hear him messing with the outside like cover, waterproof cover that's on the outlets, and then going up with a flashlight to my smoker. So the smoker had been completely unplugged. And the cord was stolen, and the camera was taken.
You never touch another man's smoker.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it the name? Are people bothered by the name Freedom Barbecue? Is that what's going on here? Or,
really?
Would you say it is a competitor?
That's where I was going.
Oh, you were?
Has barbecue to be a competitor. On barbecue crime.
Yeah, definitely a competitor. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's not right.
No.
We need to find a way to help this guy.
Exactly.
Like, let's get let's order some pulled pork sandos.
Mm. Well, and I love good barbecue.
Do you?
Ugh.
Do you like coleslaw on your pulled pork sandwich?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, but the slaw's got to be right, though.
Yeah,
it's got to have a nice sweet slaw. Yeah. We don't do barbecue around here good. I mean,
there's some places that are good.
Okay.
BT's, you ever been to BT's Smokehouse?
Never been there.
Out in Sturbridge? I don't even know if BT's is still open. They may have closed, but forever they were really, really good.
I've actually never had barbecue up here. When I lived in Charlotte, it was Max Barbecue, which was like the big place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do dollar mystery beers. So you paid $1 and you had to stick your hand into a cooler, and whatever you pulled out, that's what you got.
You gotta search.
Greg knows about real barbecue though. Martin's in Nashville.
Yes.
It's the best barbecue in the business.
Yeah, we went there when we had the golf tournament down there, Shime. That place is so good.
And you have to make sure you get there early because they only get their food that day. Mm. And when they run out, they're out. Like, because I had gone at like 6:30 at night one time and all they had left was sausages. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm coming back tomorrow. I went the next day at like 11 when they opened.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I would investigate the competitors.
Me too.
The competitive barbecue places in the region.
I feel like that's like big in barbecue is like BBQ on BBQ crime. Mm. I feel like there's always something going on with barbecue joints. Yes.
Territorial.
Yes. Yeah, very territorial.
Yeah,
like that guy who shut down my brother at the tailgate.
Oh, good point.
That is true.
Well, that was the health inspector.
Still putting barbecue
in
people
Brockton,
down.
That hardo.
That guy was a jerk.
Running around and inserting his thermometer in places that it shouldn't be inserted.
He kicked me out, too, because I had Harry.
Oh, because of the dog. Yeah.
Sad.
That's not right.
The DOJ released the Epstein footage and said that there is no client list. So what? 10 hours of jailhouse security footage showed that no one entered Epstein's jail cell on the day he died by suicide back in 2019. Also, I can't believe it's been that long since he died. But House Secretary, White House Secretary Caroline Leavitt,
White House Press Secretary.
Caroline Leavitt was talking about this, and Peter Ducey had some questions. Okay. Here's that exchange.
According to the report, this systematic review revealed no incriminating client list. So what happened to the Epstein client list that the Attorney General said she had on her desk?
Well, I think if you go back and look at what the Attorney General said in that interview, which was on your network on Fox News.
I've got the quote.
Go ahead.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, it's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the Attorney General was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But again, when it comes to the FBI and the Department of Justice, they are more than committed to ensuring that bad people are put behind bars. They have an operation going on right now called Summer Heat, which has our murder rate trending in the lowest direction in United States history.
No, stop. They weren't asking about that. Like, this is disappointing, and this happens with politicians. I don't care what the party is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people say, they make a promise. This president said he was, you know, and his head of the Department of Justice said that they were going to release the list, and she had it on her desk.
Yeah.
She wasn't talking about other things.
No.
Very disappointing.
No.
Very disappointing. And I have to, I don't know if it's a deep state thing, and you get in there, and they're like, hey, this congressperson doesn't want it released. I don't know, but it's really, it's like, it's really disappointing. If there was no list of clients, why is Ghislaine Maxwell sitting in prison then?
Correct. And also, I'm sorry, like, I don't care if it's deep state, and then once Trump's in office, and they're like, whoa, 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 this congressman doesn't. The whole point about Donald Trump for a lot of people was they were sick of politicians.
Right.
That's why he got a lot of people's vote.
And people, some people voted for that, and so it's very disappointing.
Yes. Didn't Trump know Epstein? Did they know each other?
Yes, Epstein knew everybody.
Right, but weren't there photos of like Trump hanging out with Epstein?
There's, Epstein? Bill Clinton was on his plane.
Yeah, and there you go. That's why it disappeared.
I don't know if I was on that plane or I was on another plane. Yeah,
exactly. That's what the conspiracy
huge. We're not going to put out the Epstein. Hold on. Take that back.
I mean,
no list.
Yes. We could not find the list. We dug through every drawer. We could not find it.
That's really disappointing.
Sorry about that, American people.
It's really disappointing.
But we have this new spaceship coming in.
And just let's be clear, I am expressing my disappointment in this president.
Yeah.
Because some will go, oh, Greg, you never explain. You never say anything negative. I just said it.
There you go.
On this show. All right, we got to take a break. Rest of the news coming up, including an incident of Pokemon collector line cutting rage, which led to violence in California. That is next.